The Coach Peggy Show. All things wellness with Coach Peggy Wilms. How many people in your life have told you you're half of this or half of that? Are you settling? No more. This show is about all things, and you deserve it. It's about your money, your lifestyle, your beliefs, and even romance. We extinguish excuses and raise the bar to all things possible. It's time to use your ATM, you know, your all things mindset. Welcome to the Coach Peggy Show. Bold, badass, and never half in.
Oh my gosh, I just love my intro. Can I say that about my own intro? You guys, you do not want to leave your seats tonight. I don't care if you're driving. I don't care if you're sitting on the couch and you're watching us or if you catch us tomorrow. But this is going to be fun. I am dedicating the next 5 weeks to this amazing, amazing book called Mayhem to Miracles, of which I am so proud of. Contributing authors, I'm going to be bringing on about 12 of the authors. You're going to want to be here every Tuesday for the next 5 weeks at 6 p.m. Eastern time. Let's talk a little bit about the show. What do I always talk about? All things wellness, all things well-being. You know what that is. We could be talking about relationships or stress or nutrition or exercise. What else? Mindset. Let me make up something else. Money. You guys know this. All right, I'm so excited. We're going to bring these guys on. It is going to be Lori Walker and Laura L.E. Gray and Deborah Bouvet. And I didn't even make that up and it rhymes. And these guys are going to be talking about their personal true stories. You guys are not making this up. This is true stories about abuse and trauma and tribulations and awesome outcomes, right? Mayhem to miracles. So are you guys ready? Are you guys ready? Yes, we've got Laura and Lori and Deborah in the house. Hi, ladies.
Hi. Hey, Laura,
this backdrop, what's it look like? It looks like our book, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, it's looking good.
Can you tell I've been planning that all year? Hey, guys, how are you doing tonight? Tuesday night, Transformation Tuesday.
Good.
Yeah. Very happy to be here. Thanks, Peggy.
Very happy. Y'all look beautiful. Did you bring your mug? You know, I got my Coach Peggy mug. Deborah's like, okay, what's your mug say, Laura?
My mug says sleeps with dogs.
Sleeps with dogs.
Which I do.
You got to say it. Yeah, that's right. Lori Walker, what's your mug say?
It says, if you have no regrets, you need to get out more.
That's right. And Deborah?
My mug says, mayhem to miracles.
Deborah apparently does not drink. I love it. Oh my gosh, you guys, this is super exciting. Again, this is personal to me. You know, a year ago, I dedicated one full month to the book, Crappy to Happy. And I don't know why. I don't know why the book fell in my lap. It was like a miracle thing. And I said, you know, I'm going to dedicate the whole month to this compilation book, amazing authors. I just thought that was really cool. So every single Tuesday, here I am a year later, and I'm part of the compilation and so honored to do that. So I'm dedicating this to us telling our stories. So I kind of pulled a name out of the hat and I thought, okay, Lori, sucker, you get to go first. Let me tell you, what's that?
I said I was hoping it wasn't me. But okay, we're gonna go with this.
We're gonna go with you. You know your hair. I mean, I just have to say, you look like Farrah Fawcett. You just look so beautiful.
I get that a lot. Yeah. My niece is my stylist, and she does the color for me and everything. And I go, is my hair too 80s? She's like, no, it's you. It's your personality. Don't change it. So
hey, coming from a girl who wears a mohawk, I'm not judging you. You look gorgeous. Let me tell you guys a little bit about Lori Walker. So she's a Reiki master. I mean, holy fire Reiki master. I thought she was just like giving herself some adjectives, but it's like a real thing. She is a founding member of the Book Club of Pittsburgh and featured on the cover of 2021 Women's Yellow Pages of Greater Pittsburgh. They have to say greater in Pittsburgh. I think we're trying to convince us.
Great.
Pittsburgh. Two of her poems, Tomorrow and I Want to Know, were published in Women's Independent Press. Lori, welcome so much with your story, Mary Queen. We're going to chat about that. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. You know, looking forward to this interview. My goodness. I mean, the chatter on Facebook, the new friends, it's just been amazing.
I know. It isn't, you know, we all come together. We all have a story to tell. And I really believe with the world like it is 2021 and all of the trials we went together, like the whole world, I think, came together recognizing that we have stories and we connect. We're more like each other than not. And that's what I love about this book. You can sit down with this book and you're going to connect with someone. I think there's 29 authors, contributing authors. And a shout out to Reverend Ariel Patricia and the other co-author, Kathleen Cannabis O'Keefe, which is like the coolest name ever. Like, I love her name, right? Lori, I'm going to give you the floor because your story, no guilt, no shame. You learned a lot. Let's talk. What would you like to say, Mary Queen?
Oh, my goodness. Okay. I'm not a professional writer. I wrote this story as a tribute to my very best friend. At the beginning of this year, she was very gravely ill, and I thought we were going to lose her. And nobody really knew our story. Nobody knew why we were friends or why she was so special to me. So in order to process my grief, I wrote the story just to honor her. And I didn't know if it was any good. I'm like, I don't know. I'm not a writer, but it was cathartic, and it was helping me heal. And I just maybe wanted to let her family or my family know, never intended to get it published. I thought, who am I, you know? Well, I had somebody read it the first time, and it was a guy, not that that's a bad thing, but he was like, well, don't do this and don't do this, and maybe you shouldn't. And I thought, I'm going to get a second opinion. So she's actually the talent scout for Sacred Stories Publishing. Her name is Gina Mazza. And she's from Pittsburgh, and I met her 20 years ago. I'm an office manager for a printing company. So we had connections through the printing world. And she and I were friends on Facebook. And I really didn't know her that well. So I asked for advice. I said, can I send you this story? You know, just tell me what you think. And she's like, yeah, sure. Okay. You know, and I'm going to tell you a little secret. She kind of didn't take me seriously.
I'm sorry. At first, choked on my coffee.
Yeah. She thought, okay, I'm just going to be nice and, you know, and whatever. Right. So I sent it to her on a Monday night, and Tuesday morning, she left me a message, a voice message in Messenger. Now, she now lives in Tennessee, and this message was so beautiful. She said, Lori, it's 5:00 in the morning here. The sun is just coming up, and I just read your story, and I'm crying. And she said, you have to publish this. She goes, it is so powerful, and it will help women heal. And she had me at, it will help women heal. And she was so kind and generous. We had a phone call about it later because I was worried about backlash from my ex-husband. I was going to change.
I was wondering if that's, when I was reading your story, I was wondering if that was a thought you had.
I did, because I was worried about backlash or anything, but she convinced me to be authentic.
And so your story, give everybody kind of an overview of your story.
30 seconds or less. Okay, it starts with, I'm just gonna quote it. The first paragraph is, some people get it right the first time. They meet the love of their life when they are young, they have kids, get married, and the white picket fence is always freshly painted. And then there's me. Mm-hmm. And it talks about,
sister.
I grew up in Pittsburgh, youngest of 5 kids. And I just wanted to go out and travel the world. You know, I just had these dreams. And my boyfriend at the time joined the Army, and he was stationed in Georgia. And so I got on a plane and, oh, this is going to be great. And now I am 18 years old, just disillusioned, you know, and took it down there. And we got married. We were together for a little bit, and I'm trying to condense it because it's really long.
I'm going to have to read the book because it's amazing, right?
Yeah. So, you know, we get in a fight, he hits me. And I thought, I'm not standing for this. There is no way. There's no way. Boom, I was gone. So I should have come back to Pittsburgh, but I wanted to stay down there. You know, I'm 20, 21 years old, and I move in with a friend from work, and we go out to this club, and I meet a guy. Just, oh, you know, the one, the charming, handsome, set everything right guy. And I had only known him for 2 months, and he got orders to go to Kuwait. So it was the beginning of Desert Shield. And, you know, he was only 18. I didn't know that. I thought he was 21, but he wasn't supposed to see combat, but he did. And it was rough when he came back. First of all, it's a blessing he came back. I mean,
right.
But he, you know, he had PTSD. He saw some things that no 18-year-old should see. And so when he came back, you know, like, I technically didn't know him that well to begin with. Then he comes back, and all of a sudden, he starts, excuse me, he starts, we get this mysterious phone bill. We're like, I'm like, what are all these, like, 900 numbers on this phone bill? Somebody's hacking my phone. Well, come to find out that he had an addiction to phone sex. And it was just unreal. I mean, I didn't know what to do. We were like, oh, well, you know, it's going to get better. It's going to be okay. It's going to go away and whatever. And it didn't. For 10 years, it didn't. I'm saying 10. It could have been 5. Who knows at this point? You know, this happened 20 years ago.
We've locked some of that stuff too, right? Coping skills.
Yeah, no kidding. So mm-hmm. So we just shove it under the rug and you know, and pretend it's not there. We end up getting married. I have a son. I'm jumping ahead. So then he starts to have actual affairs. And so the first one, and I forgave him for that. And then here's the big part. He has the second one. And I was at work, and my beautiful friend Mary Queen was there. And another quote from the book, he said, because he wouldn't admit it at first. And I said, just tell me. And he said, yes, there's someone else, and she's going to be part of my life. And our son has already met her. And I was just crushed. I mean, I collapsed on the floor, and my beautiful angel comes up to me. Now, she barely knows me. And she picks me up. She drags me to my feet, and she takes my face in her hands, and she says, you are going to be stronger and more beautiful than you can ever imagine. And I'm crying, and I'm like, why? I'm like, why are you helping me? You don't even know me. And she said, because I've been there.
Yeah. Amazing. No coincidences. Somebody dropped her right in front of you, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a lot more information in the story. It is absolutely gorgeous. It's like, can I say this about my own story without being...
Say anything you want, girlfriend.
It's like a symphony, like up and down, the way... the waves that it takes you on. So, and it ends very, very beautifully.
You know, there's a quote in your story that I love that, you know, she was there for you. And I think the quote was something like, you know, someday somebody's going to need you and you can pay it forward, right?
Yeah.
And we don't always know the timing of that. And we're not always prepared for that. And sometimes it's in hindsight that we look back and go, yeah, that's what Mary Queen was talking about, right? But that kind of caught me in your story. And, you know, you came out the other side of it. You eventually said, peace out, Boy Scout, and you went off on your own. And so how did you pick up the pieces?
Books, reading. I know I'm a founding member of Book Club Pittsburgh, but I said to myself, okay, that didn't work out. What can I do differently? And it's just read and read and putting new thoughts in my head and just thinking about what I've done and how I can do better, you know, and that took me on my healing journey to the Reiki, just meeting new people, just, you know, surrounding myself with people who think like me and support me.
Can you look back in your history and kind of go, you know, because I'm sure you've done this in your own head, and correct me if I'm wrong, but we are here to help other people that are listening and people that are reading the book. And so they're going to be thousands of people that are going to connect with you, because your story is definitely, none of our stories are really, they're unique, but not really that unique. So when you look back now in hindsight, is there something, some behavior, something you even watched or that was, you know, maybe that you were not as confident that allowed you to stay in that? That's a long time that you knew this information, you kind of stayed, right?
Yeah, it was about, well, obviously self-esteem, you know, and embarrassment and the shame and the guilt to admit to my family that this was happening. I think that was more of it than anything, the shame and the embarrassment. And I didn't want to hurt my son. You know, like, I didn't want him to blame me for leaving his dad, or I didn't want him to grow up without a father. There was a lot of,
but I think we come from that era, you know, I think I can speak for all of us in the room. Maybe we come from that time frame where we still believed in like the Lifetime movie, Disney thing, where there is a white picket fence and, you know, you get married and you're going to, everything's going to be fine. And we didn't really talk back then about, well, what if it's not?
Right.
Like, we could, you know, you guys, Deborah, Laura, can you relate? And it's just like, there is a plan B and a C, and it's going to be a rough ride, the roller coaster of life, but we will prevail. And you're so strong now, and you are going to help other people. And, you know, I'm proud of you for sharing. And you do need to still share your emotion, because that's part of the healing. And this will bubble back up since this book. And I'm just really proud of you for being here. It is tough to open up those, because you worry about how people are going to feel when you tell family stories, right?
That's the hardest thing of this entire thing. Like, I'm basically a quiet person. I've never talked about my past for good reason. So this has been really hard emotionally to put yourself out there, to be judged, not really judged, but just to be seen. But if it's to help other women, then I'm all in.
All in. You know, we help ourselves by helping others, right? I'm hearing amen. That was good. I just made that up, but I know I've heard it somewhere. Yeah. We help ourselves with helping. So what are your thoughts, Deborah, when you hear Lori's story? What are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, thank you for this opportunity to be with you, Peggy, and with the other ladies again. Nice to see everyone. When I hear, you know, Lori talking about her experience, it reminds me of my own experience, yet mine was years ago. And what happens, I think, is young women and a lot of women, I think, from different experiences, like Laura, when she was very young, you know, it molds us into believing that we don't have value, that we're not worth it, and all of these types of things. And if you come from a, like, from my personal situation, I came from a tumultuous childhood. And so that's what really, it didn't make a difference if I married someone that was violent or abusive, because I didn't have value. And so it's, you know, so I understand where that's coming from.
Exactly. I can't wait to hear your story too. Yay. Laura, what are your thoughts with Lori? Her story.
Well, I'm just like so, so proud of her. Her heart shines through when she first started speaking. And her motive for writing it was to actually honor another woman in her life. Mm-hmm. I mean, that just speaks volumes to the character and the mm-hmm. woman that Lori is, you know, that her true intent was to highlight and honor another woman who has meant so much to her. And I just, you know, both of these women and where they've been, and the similarities, and yet, like you said, Peggy, none of our stories are unique, and yet the fact that we are willing to step up and be vulnerable, because there's power in vulnerability, and share our story, speak our truth, will give perhaps maybe just one more woman a voice, or the courage to leave, or, you know, something along those lines.
And we're never done learning. So, you know,
right.
I'm going to be asking each of you guys this. So, Lori, I'm going to put in your hand a magic wand. and you have no choice. So don't tell me I wouldn't change a thing because I wouldn't be where I am. So I'm not going to accept it. So I'm going to put a magic wand in your hand, and I'm going to say, I want you to go back to, you know, you're 18, 19 years old. And what would you do just a little bit differently, or what red flag, maybe, you know, whatever, it's your story, but I'm going to give you that wand. Is there anything that would you would have steered in a different direction?
Okay, without the, I wouldn't be where I am. I would have, I should have gone to college. I should have pursued a career. That's another thing that I guilt about, you know, is that I didn't take care of myself. And yeah, I definitely would have gone to school.
I like that. I mean, that's good. That doesn't, you know, that's, I feel that same way, you know, that first of all, that really does boost confidence. It does really put ourselves first. I mean, you can never shy away from any type of education, but I love that answer. Good job.
And oh no, it's never too late. It'll be in the works. It's going to happen.
Oh, it's never too late. You need to get 3 PhDs before your life ends. That's a lot of work, isn't it? Oh my gosh. Okay. So let's come around the bend here. Laura. Now, L-E, is it your middle name that you use with the E?
I know, and I'm sorry. I was hoping you'd go to Deborah because my dog was barking.
I can go to Deborah. What would you like me to do?
Maybe we should, just because. I don't
it's your party, ladies.
I don't want to interrupt the flow. I have 3 dogs. I sleep with them, and they've been good. Okay. But I thought I don't want to disrupt the flow.
It's your flow. I'm ready to bounce however you want to bounce.
I feel bad. I feel bad, but I guess I'd rather have him barking with me. So I will answer that. Yes.
Let me. Can I tell everybody like what your bio is here, because it's amazing.
Oh.
So she has this little thing behind her that says actually iPride, and the reason is that Laura is the founder of iPride, and it is a successful empowerment program, and she's the co-founder. You have a life coaching business behind this iPride as well.
Well, it's kind of evolved and rolled into it. Correct. Yeah. But my primary focus is youth.
Yeah. Youth. Published author, living kidney donor. Let me keep going.
Oh, wow.
Advocate for sexual assault victims. I know you guys just don't drive off the road. I know you're still listening. She's a proud mother of 3 sons and 3 dogs. And at the end, she's going to tell us, everybody's going to tell us at the end of the show how to contact them. So, girl, your story, listen. Now, give us a little overview, and then let's dive in. So,
sure.
Take it away.
So, I guess, Peggy, and thank you. I'll echo the other sentiments from the other women. It's so fun to see them again, because I feel we do share an energy and a connection. And I'm grateful to be with you, Peggy, and to meet you and to have this moment. You had asked about the E. It is my middle name. It's actually a confirmation name because I wasn't born with a middle name or given one. But I had poetry published in 2012. And when I sign my name, I just do Ellie Gray. So I was published Ellie Gray. And so then this came out and I was like, oh, okay, Ellie Gray. And I feel like in my own quirky way, it's unintentionally eccentric.
Right.
Because it makes it sound like I'm like, you know, Jack Kerouac, or I'm of this like, who is she today? Oh, is it even a female? Or right. No, there was really no any other than, you know, I am Laura Gray and I'm published as Ellie Gray. So that's kind of where that came. There's not a lot of mystery behind it. But yeah, my story is similar. Well, I've always been a writer since I was a child, but that was primarily my form of therapy, like just to write it and get it out. I wrote poetry and just always was writing, you know, and I'm grateful for that. And I too, like Lori, had this idea, and I was going to have the kidney surgery in early March, and I thought, well, shoot, if I'm going to do this, I might as well just do it before the surgery and send it off. So I sent the email, and I know when I sent the email to Sacred Stories, I remember saying, okay, on a wing and a prayer, there you go. And that night at like 5 or 6 o'clock, I got an email back and I thought, well, that's either the quickest rejection or a delayed thank you, we got your email. I wasn't expecting, wow, it's a yes from us.
Yeah.
And so I was in my, it was in my kitchen, I was alone, and I was just sobbing because, you know, too, like Lori said, you know, there are people that are in my life and close in my life that know my story. But, you know, when you become that on pages and internet to people, you're just open. And for me, in my case, I was literally petrified that he's going to find out that I told and he's going to come kill me.
Right. Right. So your story is kind of, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about who the monster is in Laura's life. And you guys are going to be really anxious to find that out. I know when I first saw the title of this story for you, I mean, monster under your bed, monster in the closet, monster in your past. You know, everybody has a preconceived notion of who somebody's monster is. And I'm telling you, you guys, this is a real monster. So I want you to come on back. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to The Coach Peggy Show.
Sometimes being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about Maximum Medicine. In this live call-in show, we will journey into the extraordinary genius of the human body and talk about other beliefs that impact being your multidimensional self. We seek the seen and the unseen and explore the earthbound and the otherworldly, all with the purpose of calling forth the maximum you. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com.
Stuck in a roundabout of dysfunction? Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Ober. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Ober. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyober.com. That's drkathyober.com.
Get empowered
on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Well, hey, I know you're still with us because why? You're listening to The Coach Peggy Show, and I'm talking to three amazing ladies who are contributing authors to like the killer book, Mayhem to Miracles, which, by the way, is Amazon top seller, two categories. You heard it here. Go get it. Amazing gift for family and friends. I wanted to tell you that before break, if you have just joining us, Laura is going to talk to us about who the monster is. Okay, so everybody, all these ladies here have a story about transformation and trauma and abuse and addiction. Amazing stories that you're going to relate to. So, Laura, we need to talk about the monster, and we need to talk about what you went through for coping skills, and those might not be the words you want me to use, for you to get through this shit that you went through. Sorry.
Coping, I think coping is a good word. You know, I think it's a positive word too. I will, in my case, the monster was a Catholic priest. And so I'm the youngest of eight. I know Lori said she was also the youngest in her family. I'm the youngest of eight siblings, and my parents had eight children in 11 years. You know, strong Catholic family, and back then it was very much an honor to be friends with a priest, let alone have him come to your house for dinner. And so he was friends with my parents and came over regularly, and I became a target. And you know, I'm gonna say right now, I'm not anti-Catholic, But I do have a strong faith in a one-on-one relationship with God, because I do know that God's presence was always with me. That being said, part of my coping was splintering off and disassociating during the trauma that was occurring. And that was, you know, obviously to escape my body through my mind. So my body was still there absorbing the pain and the trauma, but my mind escaped. And in the process, I have created a number of alter personalities, and was not diagnosed though until 3 years ago, right around now. So it's really fresh and really raw for me. So, you know, when you talk about putting your story out there, it gets to a point where I'm like, yes, I was raped by a priest as a child. And okay. All right. That ended when I was six.
And you were young. I was going to ask you. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, it was between 3 and 6. It occurred 3 years, and then I ended up in the hospital. But the point that I felt so vulnerable about was the diagnosis of dissociative identity disorder, because that's only 3 years ago. I would say literally a handful of people that are very close to me know about it. For me, it was a relief, but at the same time, I was like, will this damage ever stop? Will this damage ever stop? I've spent 40 years trying to heal, and now this. So that's where I felt probably the most vulnerable. And, you know, as Lori had mentioned, honoring Mary Queen, I think I chose to write this story the way I did, to honor my inner child, to give her a voice in all of this, and to share that it is possible to heal. And I feel, you know, even though I had the diagnosis 3 years ago, I feel completely healthy. I'm in a really good place. I'm a strong woman. I feel like I've been a good mother to my children. And, you know, if I look at the way my story lays out and the way it's written, to me, it's actually kind of like a patchwork quilt, that over time there's been different repairs made and different collection of fabric along the way, which, you know, have made me the textured individual that I am, and that I look at it as a really, really beautiful piece of art, which is me.
That's amazing. You know, I want to ask you, so Kathy and Mary, who were the two little friends, coping skills, coping people that you had along with you. Did they come along with you as an adult, and those were different ways you coped? Can you explain, were you aware, even though you didn't have a proper, you know, ICD-9 code for this, for DID?
No. That's what's hard. That's what gets me emotional, because there are things that I look back on. And so Kathy and Mary are just two of the nine. So I have nine alternative personalities. I have one male who's about in seventh grade, and his name is Tommy. The rest are female. Kathy was the bully created to fight the priest. And Mary was created to comfort me. Mm-hmm. And Mary was created to comfort me because of the priest, but also because, quite frankly, Kathy scared the shit out of me too. I mean, I created one heck of a bully. So Mary was created for that. And so throughout the course of my life, if somebody would maybe harm me, and I don't mean like, you know, physically, but if it would trigger Kathy, and all of a sudden Kathy would show up and be like, well, and you know, I'm not going to use the language, but you know, Kathy was hardcore. And, but I'm saying that, so moments I would like walk away and go, oh my God, you know, so they get triggered out of their sleep, and they are there to defend and protect or comfort me, where Tommy is like the male. And I know, you know, I have three sons, and now I look back and I'm like, oh yeah. I mean, I have pictures where I'm like, oh yeah, there's Tommy. And, you know, my closet, I have this, you know, just a small little walk-in closet, but it used to strike me as odd. when you would walk in my closet, you would think that, like, it's the closet for five people. Because I have, like, these heavy flannels. I have, like, this sports stuff. And I'm like, so when I got the diagnosis, that was a relief. But at the same time, I'm like, it's never ending. But I will say I learned to honor their presence. And they live in my house. And I've learned how to manage it.
That's right. So. You know, I thought was interesting in your story, and I've only dealt with a few of these stories, and everybody's is completely different with disassociative stuff. But I really thought it was interesting how Kathy was, you developed her to protect you, and then that she just would get mad at you even. And I never thought of that twist when you develop somebody so strong and protective of you against whomever or whatever, that then she would kind of turn around and get mad at you, and how then you have to almost create somebody else to protect you against.
Unfortunately, yeah, and that's a really great point. Unfortunately, I didn't create somebody else. That was kind of like another wake-up call for me. And I was at a point where I was really strong and healthy with regards to the priest abuse. And I think that's why I didn't. And the priest died in 2015. So Kathy was kind of like, hey, what am I going to do? But I distinctly remember, and I wrote the words in the story, I distinctly remember in my bed crying because Kathy wanted me to kill myself. And I remember going, if I die, we all die. I'm trying to reason with an alternative personality of mine to say, if I kill myself, we're all dead. So
well, she thought her job was done because the priest was gone. She's like, well, my job's done. Let's just stop the work here.
Then she turned it around and started to pick on me.
Yeah. I mean, it's just fascinating. And it's so interesting that in 2018, when you were diagnosed, that it took till 2018 for you to go through just exhausting.
A lot of years.
And it's like,
I actually told my ex-husband, who I was with for almost 20 years, I called him up. He's one of the people that knows, and he came over and we talked. And because we didn't have a bad marriage. It just wasn't meant to be. But I know he witnessed over 20 years, I'm sure. So I guess I kind of wanted to say, well, you weren't just married to me.
Right. I'm sure he did see a lot of things that maybe you didn't even, right? There was a quote that you, I think that your dad said to you that was really profound, that, you know, don't look in the rearview mirror because the road's ahead of you and everything's ahead of
you.
When
he was teaching me.
Yeah, and I think about that obviously with life, you know, because many people just say, hey, you know, I'm not going to talk about that. It already happened and whatever. And in this book, if all of the people who wrote in this book just pretty much said, oh, let's use some whiteout and pretend that didn't happen. You know, you don't have not only the growth and the healing for yourself, but it stops us from helping others.
Yeah.
And you guys, your story, they really are helping others. I mean, just look at the diversity in this group with the three of you just sharing your stories and not forgetting your past. But like you said, honoring your little girl, honoring the issue that happened and not giving up. 2018 was 3 years ago. And you did it. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Mic drop. I have a mic, but I can't drop it because I'm talking into it. But I would drop it for you. Okay. Hey, so what do you guys think? Lori, what's your thoughts about Laura's story?
Whoa. Wow. When I read Laura's story, I was floored. And, you know, it's funny. There's a lot of mayhem in my story, but I was like, wow, I didn't have it as bad as she did. You know, where you, and so you're not paying attention to yourself, where you're like, it could have been a lot worse, you know, and just the feeling, the depth, it moved me.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
If you can say that about the trauma story, you know?
Yeah, I'm okay with that. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. Deborah, what about you? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's phenomenal that you can come out of anything like that sane. And so there's a lot of courage and Laura is brave to be able to talk about it. And I think with all of, I just know with the writings, and then every time we share it verbally, because a lot of times when it's happened years ago, we don't talk about it. And we may not realize the trauma is still within us. And so by sharing each time, we're healing ourselves. And we're naturally, as you've said, Peggy, we're helping others and healing them that they're not alone. So I commend Laura. It's and understand how she created the different personalities so she could, you know, step away from her body and the trauma. My question is, did the priest ever, was he held accountable before he died?
No, and he, yeah, and then that's a whole other chapter, version, et cetera, I could write, but I will tell you, no. I will tell you that I have heard the word serial rapist used in relation to him. I didn't tell anyone until I was 32. I was hospitalized at the age of six. I didn't tell till I was 32. But he was never held accountable. They felt whatever that's called, the time that's passed and, you know, stuff like that. No.
Yeah, statute of blank.
No, never held accountable.
Statute of stupidity.
Numerous victims.
And now he's in the light and he knows love and he knows his, you know, his doings were.
And I forgave him years ago. Well, the irony is that was easy. It was hard to forgive myself because, you know, I felt like I must have done something. I was a bad little girl. That was
three.
It was dark. Yeah. But I figured it must have been me, you know.
So I understand.
I untethered him and forgave him so I could heal.
Right.
So I'm going to throw you the magic wand and say you have to use it. You can't say nothing with change. What's one little tiny piece that you might give in your magic? You know, we got Lori that's going to college now. So what do you want
to do? I really do believe, though, that I'm just such an awesome person. I just feel for other people in situations. I feel like I'm incredibly creative because of how I escaped in my own mind. I don't know.
So do me a favor. You take that magic wand and you keep creating magic, helping thousands
and
thousands of people.
I like that. That's what I want to do. I want to sparkle forward.
Okay, sparkle forward. I'm giving you. Here you go. Deborah, are you ready to talk about you? I mean, we are. We're ready to watch that pretty smile talk. Deborah Bouvet is an intuitive energy practitioner, author, and founder of Global Dream Vision 7 Radio Network and Kids for Love Project, all fostering love and unity and elevated consciousness. Such a beautiful statement.
Yeah.
Welcome. I want to hear, let's give an overview to the listeners and viewers of, let's lead us into your story tonight.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. I was young, as mentioned, and naive and didn't have value, as I mentioned earlier, didn't see myself as anything. So from that kind of childhood brought me to marrying my husband, my first husband. And I, in essence, I thought it was a bit of an escape, because now I was leaving that environment and going to a new one. So when he became abusive, I accepted it. And then it became more violent. And from there, I still accepted it. I had a concussion at one time or more. I had black eyes. And I used to explain it all, how it all happened to the family and friends, things of that sort, which most people that are battered do. And then when I became pregnant, I thought all of this would go away. And in the shower one morning, we had argued before, and he came and he hit me while I was in the shower. And I just could not fathom what happened, because I was pregnant with his child as well. So that's when my wake-up call came. I was only 21 when I left him. And so anyway, and by sharing this, just like with Laura and Laurie, we're healing. I can feel the healing because I'm shaking, and that's revisiting the issue that you or the experience that you've had. And now you're opening up and you're letting the trauma out. So back then, because of my childhood and my mom, who I loved, but she had mental health issues and she added alcohol to it, and it was a very bizarre experience. And so I had vowed within myself as a young girl that I would be married and everyone would be safe and it would be a beautiful family. And when being hit, I just became Wonder Woman, because I was not going to let anyone harm my child, because in essence, I was feeling that that child was me. And, you know, and so I needed to do something about it. So I started planning at that time. And he was an alcoholic and he would just take off for a few days here and there. So it actually gave me time to make a plan. I used to save $5 to $10 back then, because, again, this was years ago. Mm-hmm. And so finally, at one time, once he went on a toot, and people would say, oh, he's cheating on you. And I heard that and knew that, but it didn't matter because he was not a good person. And I must say that it was a cycle, because he was abused as a child, and most people that abuse or rape or anything of that sort, it's happened to them. Not most, but I say a sizable percentage.
Right.
So anyway, so I left with my stepmother. I had nothing to really bring of much, but I left, and it was back in a time where you could not find an apartment unless you had a husband. And it sounds strange now when you think about it. It does. But all I had was my 6-week-old daughter. It took me a while to recuperate back then. And off we were. And every time I went to a place that to rent, they turned me away because I had a child and I had no husband. And so it was a challenging time, to say the least. But I did find a woman that rented to single moms. And it was, I mean, there's so much more to that, because I actually went to a first place where you couldn't have family members in. And there was an elderly woman below me, and she complained because I was up every 3 to 4 hours feeding my baby. But anyway, we found a place. And she was lovely, and I'm in gratitude for her back then, years ago, being open to embrace women, single women. So it's just interesting how things back then and how we've evolved. I mean, there's still a lot of work to be done for women in this world, but we have evolved quite a bit.
Yeah.
So that's where I started, just her and I in a 1-bedroom apartment. Yeah.
What I was thinking about with your story is did dad have custody? You have visitation. What does your daughter think?
Yes. Yeah. Well, we went to court. See, As I said, I became Wonder Woman, and I was going to protect that child no matter what. People would have to go. I would have lost my life for her. Right. And so when we went to court, his father was wealthy. And a lawyer back then, they didn't look at domestic violence as an issue. That was a marriage, and take it up, you know, in the privacy of your home. And so many women have died because there hasn't been, protection for them. Right. So we went to court, and he did get visitation rights. And when he came, and I thank the Lord for that, when he came, I did not open the door, and I would not give her to him in fear that she would be abused, that she would be hit, or and imagine her life if she was under that kind of environment on a regular basis. So luckily, he did not take me back to court because he really didn't have interest in her. He was angry at me.
Yeah.
And so, like I said, I think, and in gratitude that he didn't take me back to court.
Look at you. We turn into Wonder Woman when it's our children or whomever we try to protect. And in those ways, protect yourself. Lori, what are your thoughts about Deborah's story?
There's so many similarities in our story, Deborah, I think.
Yes.
The self-esteem and the accepting of the abuse. And you think it's not natural, but that's what you're used to. And the hiding it. You said, too, about hiding, making excuses, you know, for that behavior. So I'm with you 1,000% on the protecting the kid. My son is my life, and I do anything for him. So I understand completely where you're coming from on that, definitely.
Yeah.
Maura, your thoughts?
Yeah, I just, when I hear and I read Deborah's story, and, you know, like Lori said, there is similarities. And the interesting thing that Lori said, well, she looks at my story and thinks, oh, it could be worse. But I listen about theirs, and I'm like, wow, I remember when I was 21, I was with my girlfriend saying, hey, where are we going to go out? And, you know, you have this woman holding a six-week-old infant, trying to find a place to live, putting money away to escape. I mean, I just, the bravery, especially during those times, you know, it's a little mind-blowing for me just to even imagine. That's a different kind of fear, too, that you faced into and said.
And I had dreams. I had dreams for years that he was coming after me. And that really affected my life for quite some time. And then I had to come to a place like what you had said, Laura, is forgiveness. And the forgiveness is naturally for yourself so you can be free of it. And then once I really did the inner work, and I also volunteered for Battered Women and Children for 5.5 years when my second husband, who was an amazing man, he was killed in an accident. When I went and did the actual work for Battered Women and Children, that was the beginning of my healing from my first husband. And then you become at peace with it at some level. But yet, I have to say, as I mentioned, opening up and talking about it is a whole different experience.
You know, when I wrote my story in the book, it was one of the things I just resonated with Lori, I think it was, that said, you know, you just kind of put those things behind you because, you know, I've got my inner beast and she's Athena and she just grabs her, you know, her big old shield and just kind of keeps going. And I put my story behind me too. And it didn't have really anything to do with trauma. You know, it had to do with just fighting a misdiagnosis of hepatitis C and fighting the medical community and saying, I'm not going to abort.
There's trauma involved.
Yeah, I know.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And I think my point being for anybody listening is, you know, I had to listen to myself in faith and my intuition and just fight everything. And, you know, they wanted me to get rid of my, you know, abort my son and all that stuff. And I think about 6 months ago, my grandson was born, and my grandson wouldn't be here if my son wasn't here, if I didn't fight the false diagnosis.
Right.
And so for Lori, I think you had said something about, you know, you kind of forget about this and then you're part of this book and you dig up this story. And I was sitting here writing, just sobbing, going, oh my God, you know, I forgot about this. And it didn't even seem like an issue to me. I'm like, you know, hey, I did what I got to do. So ladies, we are finishing up. I want you, Laura, let's go around the room and have you tell everybody where we can find you. So Laura, what's your contact information?
Sure. The best way to contact me would be through my website, which is ipride.net. And you can email me directly from that website.
Absolutely. That is perfect. Laura Walker, where can we find you?
I have a virtual book club that I started with my friend Mia Rosinko. And you can find us on Facebook at Guided by Grace Book Club.
That's awesome. And Deborah, we can find you in many places too.
Yes, there's lovebyintuition.com. However, you can reach me through Dream Visions, all one word with an S on the end, the number 7radio.com. All the information is there, the numbers and all. Thank you.
Awesome. Ladies, it's been amazing. And you know, next Tuesday, I'm bringing back three more of our partners. I'm just so excited. You know, Meddy's going to be here talking about, addiction. And Mary Ellen Lucas is going to be here. She's going to be talking about a spiritual experience that she had. And Eileen's going to be with me. You know, she got, as you guys know, she interviewed you. She was bit by a brown recluse spider, you guys. So listen, these gals are coming back. New gals are coming back next Tuesday. And I want you to be here for the next 5 weeks, and I'm even interviewing James Redfield one-on-one in December, so super excited about that. And listen, you guys, if you guys want a personalized signed copy of my book, and these guys too, you can email them. But I'm at peggy@allthingswellness.com, and I am so excited that you've been here. Jacob, I love you so much. You can take us away. Goodbye, ladies. Have an awesome night.
You've been listening to The Coach Peggy Show, All Things Wellness with Coach Peggy Wilms. Tune in live the first and third Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com, where Coach Peggy talks all things wellness, not just nutrition and fitness, but about all things, about your money, your lifestyle, your beliefs, and even romance. The Coach Peggy Show, bold, badass, and never half in. For more information or to connect with Coach Peggy, visit allthingswellness.com. The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.